بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. We return then, Ikhwan, back to our study of the seerah of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. And as we mentioned previously, we are still in the first 4 years of the da'wah of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And in fact, as we mentioned, as it relates to the da'wah of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, we're actually in the first year of the da'wah now becoming public. The initial 3 years, you'll remember, the Messenger alayhi salam, he gave da'wah privately and secretly. And during that stage, or during that period, the persecution, the argumentation, it didn't really explode as it did after the Prophet ﷺ made the da'wah public. And when that occurred, then indeed the persecution, it began and intensified. We said that we're going to look at some of the asalib, or some of the methods in which the mushrikun of the Arab and the mushrikun of Quraysh, they approached the Messenger in order to debate with him and to reject that which he came with, to reject that which he brought from the verses of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we want to look at similarly are the asalib that are known as the asalib al-amma and the asalib al-khasa. The asalib al-amma are those methods, or those manners of debating with the Anbiya and the da'wah of the Anbiya that were not specific to the da'wah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that which occurred during the early stages of the da'wah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they are general, and you'll find them repeating themselves in the da'wat of all of the prophets and the messengers. Generally, those who were around them from the mushrikun and from those who rejected, that they had an usloob, or a method of rejecting the da'wah of that prophet and the da'wah of that messenger. And so we will look then at some of the asalib that are referred to as the asalib al-amma, which, as we mentioned, encompass all of the prophets and the messengers, and there are many affairs that you'll find in the da'wah of all of the prophets and the messengers as it relates to those who oppose them. And then we will look, bi-idhnillah, at the asalib al-khasa, or the specific methods, the specific affairs related to the da'wah of the Messenger of Allah and the mushrikun of Quraysh. And one of the things, Ikhwan, that will aid us in understanding how the da'wah was progressing during that period is to look at some of the ayat and some of the verses that were revealed. And without doubt, when we look at some of the verses that were revealed during this stage, this Meccan stage, we see that the mawdu'at and the topics of those verses are topics, ayyuha al-ikhwa, that revolve around the usul and the fundamentals of the religion. That we have Allah Azza wa Jal revealing that which is related to the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal has sent His Messenger as He sent messengers in the past, prophets and messengers, mubashirin or mundirin, giving glad tidings and warning. And those prophets and messengers, without doubt, established the hujjah upon their people. And Allah Azza wa Jal gave them ayat by way of which their followers or their people would believe in them. And those ayat and those signs, Ikhwan, were either accepted, and what followed from that was iman, or they were rejected, and what followed from that was kufr, and inad, and rejection. So we look at the attitudes similarly that the rejectors of iman have had throughout time. Yani some of the varying attitudes that they have. Yani pride, rejection, and other than that, inad, obstinance, and other than that, from the asalib, or from the methods, or the attitudes that they had when they rejected. And as we mentioned, some of the arguments and the methods in which they argued with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another thing to be noted is that the method of arguing with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it didn't stop in Mecca. It continued even in Medina. But of course, the usulub and the approach to arguing with the Messenger of Allah differed slightly. Since what we had in Medina was we had the presence of the people of the book. And so the people of the book in Medina, they gave support and aid to the mushrikun who rejected the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and would encourage them, yani the people of the book would encourage them to ask the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specific questions. And they would approach the people of the book and ask them, what should we ask him? And so they aided one another in trying to reject the fact that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was the Messenger of Allah. And so the affairs or the issues related to the da'wah, and as we mentioned, we want to look at them because of the fact that where we are, they are pertinent to us in terms of the giving or the spreading of the da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ayat then, from them, or those ayat that were revealed, we have ayat, ikhwan, that indicate clearly the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was establishing with the believers and with the mushrikun, the fundamentals of the religion. You remember we discussed the persecution. That persecution, ikhwan, was difficult without doubt for the one who studies the seerah and looks at what occurred and what happened. And if we reflect upon some of the examples that we mentioned previously, it was not easy. You need to be tied to a stake and to be whipped and to be left out in the sun, and that you witness your mother killed before you, you witness your companions killed before you, or that yani from them were those who were burnt and had their skins peeled from them because of the burning. And other than that, from the forms of persecution and torture in essence, on the basis of the fact that they said Rabbi Allah, that our Lord and my Lord is Allah. And so the affair then was one that was a trial for the believers, ikhwan. Na'am, they believed in Allah Azza wa Jalla, and they had no doubt that the Prophet ﷺ was the Messenger of Allah, truly. They didn't doubt concerning that. And Allah Azza wa Jalla establishes the fact that all of them believed in that. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله. That indeed the Rasul believes in that which has come to him from his Lord, and the mu'minun, and the believers. كل, all of them believe in Allah and his books and the messengers. إلى آخر الآيات. And so, the affair then was one that, though they were upon yaqeen, it was still difficult. As much certainty as one may have, when one is persecuted and whipped and tortured, and undergoes pain and injure, on the basis of one's belief, ikhwan, it is, as certain as one may be, it is still a trial. And we really need to reflect, ikhwan, and consider what they went through. Since none of us, ikhwan, have ever been tortured in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, none of us. And we, at most, have received something from verbal abuse, and something from taunting or what have you, at most. But none of us have ever been tortured in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Tortured. And so that, ikhwan, is something very, indeed, very great. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveal that which would be or would console the believers in as much as Allah Azza wa Jalla revealing that which would remind them of the fact that they were not the only ones who went through what it is they had to go through. Yani that before them we had groups of believers and groups of individuals who went through similar. Allah Azza wa Jalla, as occurs masalan in سورة البروج والسماء ذات البروج واليوم الموعود والشاهد ومشهود قتل أصحاب الأخدود النار ذات الوقود. Allah عز وجل informs us as occurs in سورة البروج, which was one of the surah that were revealed during that period. And remember the fact that during the period it was a period of persecution, and so the verses that were revealed reminded the believers and aided them in being firm, reminded them of that which occurred with those who came before them, and aided them in being firm. And Allah Azza wa Jal informed them of the fact that there were a people who were punished, a people who went through that which they went through, if not worse, as Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, by the heavens holding the large stars, and by the promised day, and by the witnessing day, and Yawm al-Jumu'ah, cursed were the people of the ditch, fire that they supplied abundantly with fuel when they sat by the fire, and they witnessed what they were doing to the believers. وَمَا نَقَمُوا مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا أَن يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions that indeed they had nothing against them except that they believed in Allah the Almighty, the one who is worthy of praise. And that is a reference, of course, ikhwan, and some of the scholars of tafsir differ concerning exactly who the verses in Surah Buruj were revealed concerning. The statement, وَمَا نَقَمُ مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ, who was it that had a problem with those believers then? Somehow that it was one of the rulers and one of the kings of Yemen, a previous king of Yemen, who had tortured a group from among the believers, from among the people of the book. While others held that it was King Nebuchadnezzar, or a reference to King Nebuchadnezzar, which is without doubt Ba'id. And the affair, though, for the most part, is explained by way of the story of the boy and the king. The story that the Messenger ﷺ informed of concerning one of the nations that came before. It didn't mention exactly which people they were, but that there was a nation that came before, and among them there was a king who had a magician, and I'm sure you're acquainted with the story. The king who had a magician, and the magician was dying, or he was on his deathbed, and needed to have someone young who would learn the magic. And so on the way to learning the magic from the magician, he would pass by a scholar from the people, from the scholars of the people of the book, and he would learn the deen, he would study the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal from him. Eventually, on an occasion, there was a beast that was blocking the entrance to the city, and so the boy made dua and said, "Oh Allah, if it is that what the alim and what the sheikh is teaching me is better than that which, or is more beloved to you than that which is taught to me by the magician, then alleviate us of this beast and of this burden that we have in front of us." And he killed the beast, and thereafter his affair became mashhoor and became popular. There were from the courtiers of the king those who had entered into the deen of the boy on the basis of the fact that he cured some of them. From them there were those who were blind, and they were cured by him. And so eventually, ikhwan, the hadith and the qissa and the story is long, but eventually the king, he attempted to kill the boy, and they brought him out to sea to try and kill him. They brought him to a mountain to throw him off, to try and kill him, and each time they were unsuccessful in killing him. And so eventually he said that the only way that you will kill me is if you present me before the people, gather me before the people with a bow and an arrow, and then when you draw the bow, you say, "In the name of the boy," or "In the name of the Lord of the boy," "In the name of the Lord of the boy," yani bismillah, and if you do so, then you will kill me. And then he did so, and the boy was without doubt at that time, on that occasion, killed. But what followed from that was that the people of that township, that they believed in Allah Azza wa Jalla, they followed the deen of that boy. They entered into the deen of Al-Islam, and on the basis of it, that king, he dug large trenches around the city and filled them with fire, and then threatened that anyone who believed would be thrown into those trenches. And you know, of course, of the woman who had her child with her, and she was a believer, and she was on the edge of the trench, not knowing whether or not she should enter. And so Allah Azza wa Jal made the child speak, and the child spoke to her, saying, "Oh my mother, enter, for indeed you are upon the truth." And so Allah Azza wa Jal reminded the believers of the difficulty and informed them, since for many of them it was not a reminder, it was something that they had learned for the first time, but informed them of the fact that that was the way of belief, that was the way of iman. أَمْ حَسِبُتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Did you believe that you were going to enter Jannah when the example of that which had occurred among the people before you has not yet come to you? مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that indeed they were shaken, and they were hit with difficulties and hardships until the believers and the messenger and those who believed alongside him, they said, "When will the aid of Allah come?" Even the messenger himself making that statement, "When will the aid of Allah come?" But Allah Azza wa Jal responds to that, "Ala inna nasr Allahi qareeb." Indeed, the aid of Allah Azza wa Jal is qareeb. The aid of Allah is close. And so we see then that Allah Azza wa Jal revealed from the verses, those verses, ikhwan, that would console the believers, particularly those who were being punished. And we saw likewise from the ahadith, عَجَبًا لَأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنْ أَمْرَهُ كُلُّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٍ وَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. Statements of the Messenger of Allah, amazing indeed is the affair of the believer. All of his affairs are good for him. And that is for no one except for the believer. If the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, إِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ سَرَّى شَكَرٌ وَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّى صَبَرٌ وَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. That if good comes to him, then he gives thanks and it is good for him. And if he is harmed by evil or by hardship, by difficulties, then sabar, he is patient and it is good for him. His reward is on both accounts. And so the believers then, they were being consoled, ikhwan, with ayat, with ahadith, and with statements of the Messenger of Allah. And of course, continually from the believers were those who, as occurs in that narration, that was collected by Imam al-Nasa'i and Imam Hakim, the narration of Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, who came to the Messenger, he and some of his companions came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Mecca, and they said, Ya Rasulallah, inna kunna a'izza wa nahnu mushrikun, falamma amanna sirna azilla, qala inni umirtu bil afu, fala tuqatilu. That he said, Abdul Rahman bin Auf and his companions, they said, O Messenger of Allah, indeed, when we were mushrikun, we were a'izza, yani we had dignity and nobility and station. And this statement, a'izza, is ordinarily a reference to them defending themselves by way of warfare, and that was how the mushrikun from among the Arab, that was what they understood and that was what they saw, that honor and nobility was by fighting and was through warfare and through military expeditions and by establishing the fact that our tribe, none can come to us and none can approach us, and that we are ready for altercations, ready for war. And that by way of that they saw that they were aziz, a'izza, and that they were people of nobility and strength and honor and might. And so Abdul Rahman bin Auf, he said, O Messenger of Allah, verily when we were mushrikun, we were a'izza. Yani we would defend, we would fight. And now that we have entered Islam, that we have become azilla. Yani we have become azilla here, meaning it's opposite. That is, it is as though we're being humiliated. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, indeed, I have been commanded with afu. I've been commanded to overlook. And then not to fight. So do not fight. I've commanded to pardon and overlook, so do not fight. And so here the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned, I have been commanded with afu. And so the Messenger alayhi salam, Allah commanded him to overlook, commanded him to pardon. And that without doubt, ikhwan, is the attitude of the believer in every time and in every circumstance. That is, that he follows the deen of Allah azza wa jalla, and he does not يستعجل. He's not hasty. And he's not taken, ikhwan, by emotion. And he's not taken by passion. Regardless of what he sees and what he observes happening and occurring. And oftentimes, ikhwan, that is the argument that is used by many of the jama'at of takfir and jihad. Look at what is happening to the ummah. Look at what is happening to our mothers and our children and the young ones and the elders. Look at what is happening to the tribes and what have you. Indeed, we must fight. And that, ikhwan, is a lesson, as we mentioned, that we learn from the seerah. Our mothers are better than the mothers of the believers. The children that are present in our time and in our midst are better than the children of the Sahaba. Our adults are better than them. Yet they were punished, ikhwan, and they were persecuted and they went through hardship. The Messenger of Allah did not take up arms and fight immediately. It was after this long period, ikhwan, of over 10 years of patient perseverance. And then Allah Azza wa Jal ultimately commanded them to defend themselves. Udhina لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, permission has been given to those who were oppressed. permission was has been given to those and who believe because they were oppressed. And so the affair then, one obtains understanding when we study that which occurred at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and how the Messenger ﷺ dealt with some of the qualms that occurred and that came even from some of the companions, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. Now, similarly, ikhwan, from the surah and from the verses that were revealed, Surah At-Teen. Allah Azza wa Jal, with the revelation of Surah At-Teen, after swearing by At-Teen wa Zaytun, wa Turi Sinin, wa Hadha al-Balad al-Amin, Allah Azza wa Jal reminds mankind of his origin, reminds mankind of his asl. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. That indeed we have created mankind in the best taqweem, yani in the best form and in the best manner. And then Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentions, ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. And then we make him, or we return him to becoming the lowest of the low. And that without doubt is for the one who does not take on board iman. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Except those who believe. So Allah Azza wa Jal in that surah, with the revelation of that surah, returned the believers and those who witnessed and those who listened to those ayat, reminded them of their origin. And the fact that their origin, ikhwan, regardless of what tribe they are from, regardless of what bloodline they have, that the essence of those individuals are on the basis of what they have from piety and taqwa. And that they are noble and they are upright if they have piety and taqwa. And that, of course, ikhwan, is and continues to be the case. And a person's nobility, a person's station, is on the basis of piety and taqwa. Piety and taqwa, ikhwan, does not necessitate that a person does not sin. A person never does wrong. La. Rather, he does wrong, as the Prophet ﷺ mentioned. But as he mentioned, the best of those who do wrong are those who make tawbah. And so taqwa is that sila, that continual connection with Allah Azza wa Jal. That a person increases in that connection, increases in knowledge, increases in ilm, draws closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is constant in seeking tawbah and forgiveness for the wrongs that he carries out, and for the sins that he commits. And Allah Azza wa Jal purifies the believer and causes him to draw closer to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no doubt, ikhwan, it occurs in some lines of poetry that which indicate a similar affair. That indeed, the nafs of the shabab, or the soul of the shabab, his essence, wallahi bil ilmi wal tuqa, in lam yakuna la tibara li dhatihi. That the nafs, or the essence, and the nobility of a person, or of the talib, is bil ilmi wa tuqa, is by way of knowledge and tuqa, knowledge and taqwa. فَإِن لَمْ يَكُونَ لَاعْتِبَارَ لِذَاتِهِ. If the two of them do not exist, then there is no, his existence is irrelevant. His existence is irrelevant, and that is not understood except by the believer. And that is not to say, ikhwan, that the one who doesn't have piety and taqwa, that he may now be dishonored and disrespected, or harmed, or blood drawn from him, or what have you. But it indicates that the true gauge of an individual is by way of his belief, by way of his morals, his ethics, by way of that which he stands for, and by way of his connection to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and his belief in the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, from the ayat, or from the surah that were revealed, Surah Al-Qari'ah was likewise from the early surah that were revealed, establishing again the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal has reminded the believers, or established the believers upon the affairs of the usul of their religion, the usul of their deen. From the greatest of those usul, the establishment of Yawm Al-Qiyamah. And the fact that there is a day that will occur, a day that all of the prophets and the messengers spoke of. And that day is one wherein mankind will be judged and recompensed, each and every one of them. All of them will be recompensed for the deeds that they committed and the deeds that they carried out. And those deeds, ayyuhal ikhwa, they will see all of them, whether large, whether minute, or whether small. All of those deeds, ikhwan, large or small, they will be seen. أَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ أَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُ فَأُمُّهُ حَاوِيَةٌ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا هِيَ نَارٌ حَامِيَةٌ We see Allah Azza wa Jalla in these surah and these ayat that Allah reminds mankind of a reality, a simple reality. Whomsoever scales are heavy on that day, فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ He will be in a happy and will be in a good existence. Yani, that is, he will be in a home in the hereafter, and a pleasant home in paradise, in Jannah. And as far as those who scale the light, then ummuhu hawiya, then his home will be the hawiya. His home will be the hawiya. And the hawiya here is a reference to a abyss or a pit or a deep abyss. The hawiya is that thing that caused a person to descend. A deep abyss that will cause a person to descend. And then Allah Azza wa Jal asks the question, and what will explain to you what it is? Narun hamiya. What will explain to you what it is indeed? It is the blazing fire. And so these surah, establishing the believers, that early jeel, the early generation, the belief in those fundamentals that will increase and establish for them the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal, establish for them the importance of refraining from those things that they used to and that they were acquainted with carrying out, remembering the fact that they, for the most part, the majority of them, ikhwan, were individuals who were upon sin. They were individuals who were upon ma'asi. They were upon shirk. The majority of them, other than a handful from among those who didn't partake in shirk and refrained from it. But the majority of them were a people of shirk and a people of sin and shirb al-khamar and taking intoxicants and drinking intoxicants, and other than that. And then Allah Azza wa Jal blessed them and guided them to the deen. And so within that 4-year period, we see Allah Azza wa Jal establishing their hearts firmly upon this aqeedah. That thing that will strike fear in the hearts, will establish a taqwa in their hearts, draw them closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. And it is these surah that we see were revealed. Similarly, the likes of Suratul Humazah, as we mentioned previously, another one of these surah, that were revealed early in the period or during the Meccan period. We have a hadith, and that is, ikhwan, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud that indicates that from the early surah that were revealed was Surah Mursalat. Surah Mursalat, it was from the early surah that were revealed, and Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, he said, Ataytu رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فنحن فبينا نحن عنده على الحراء إذ نزلت عليه سورة المرسلات فأخذتها وإنها لرتبة بفيه. He said that indeed we were in the Harra, the Harra, which is the areas of volcanic rock on the outskirts of Medina. Yani, they are mountainous areas, and they are known as the Harra, al-Harra al-Sharqiyya, al-Harra al-Gharbiyya, areas that are mountainous and that have with them or have upon them volcanic rock ordinarily. He mentioned that we were there, and indeed, إِذْ نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِ سُورَةُ الْمُرْسَلَاتِ, when Allah Azza wa Jal revealed upon him Surah Al-Mursalat. He said, فَأَخَدْتُهَا وَإِنَّهَا لَرَتْبَةٌ فِي bihi. He said, and I took it while it was fresh in the mouth of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. Yani, as it was revealed, I learnt it. I took it as it came from Allah Azza wa Jal. He mentioned, فَلَا أَدْرِ بِأَيِّ الْآيَتَيْنِ خُتِمْ. He said, but I'm not sure which of the verses sealed the surah. Was it وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ ارْكَعُوا لَا يَرْكَعُونَ or فَبِأَيِّ حَدِيثٍ بَعْدَهُ يُؤْمِنُونَ, which is the end of the surah, فَبِأَيِّ حَدِيثٍ بَعْدَهُ يُؤْمِنُونَ. But he said, I wasn't certain which of the two ended the surah. He said, فَبَيْنَا نَحْنُ نِيَامٌ عَلَى الْحَرَّاءِ أَوْ عَلَى الْجَبَلِ فَمَا نَبَّهْنَا إِلَّا صَوْتُ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم منعها منكم الذي منعكم منها. قال كنت يا رسول الله وما ذاك؟ قال حية خرجت من ناحية الجبل. فقال الرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عليكم فاقتلوها. قال فابتدروها أو فابتدرناها فسبقتنا فدخلت جهرها. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وقيت شركم كما وقيتم شرها. That while we were in that state on that mountain, I heard the voice of the messenger saying, it was, or the one who prevented it from you, prevented you from it. The one who prevented it from you, prevented you from it. And so Ibn Mas'ud said, what is that, O Messenger of Allah? Yani, what are you saying? So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, a snake that has come from the mountain. A snake has just come from that mountain. And so, kill it. Approach it and kill it. And so, when Ibn Mas'ud woke, yani, he woke realizing that they were already trying to kill it. They were awake trying to kill it. And so he heard the Prophet saying to some of his companions, the one that prevented you from it, prevented it from you. And the same one that prevented you from killing it was the same one that prevented it from attacking you. And so Ibn Mas'ud heard the statement, woke up and said, what is that, O Messenger of Allah? Prophet ﷺ said that indeed it was a snake that had come from the mountain over in that region. He said, and so he commanded to kill it. And so we went to kill it, we chased it to kill it. And it beat us to its den, it beat us to its hole. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he said, indeed, it has been prevented from your harm as you have been prevented from its evil. So Allah Azza wa Jal revealed Surah Al-Mursalat. And Surah Al-Mursalat, Ikhwan, again reminds, throughout the Surah, Ikhwan, we have reminders, constant reminders, وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ, woe on that day to those who reject faith. Allah Azza wa Jal speaks of the hellfire yani possessing Salatah Shu'ab, and the various sifat of the Nar that are present within the Surah. And so we find the establishment of Yawm Al-Qiyamah, the establishment of the sifat of the Nar, the description of the hellfire, and that which is related to the affairs that we should believe from the pinnacles and the pillars of faith. And from them, the beginning of the surah itself has in it, Ikhwan, the whole of the beginning of the surah is a mention of the malaika. And in the surah it begins by discussing the malaika, wal mursalati urfa, wal asifati asfa. All of those, the statement are descriptions of malaika. And so Allah Azza wa Jal within that surah reminded the believers, Ikhwan, of that which occurred and that which they should believe in and that which will occur on the Day of Judgment. Similarly, we have from the early surah that were revealed the likes of Surah Al-Qaf. Surah Al-Qaf, again, but from the surah, Ikhwan, that the Prophet ﷺ would recite from the time that it was revealed, even in Medina, every week, the companions, they said, that we heard the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, or I indeed learned Surah Al-Qaf, I did not learn Surah Al-Qaf, except from the mouth of the Messenger ﷺ when he was on the Mimbar Yawm Al-Jumu'ah. And that is, the Messenger ﷺ, he used to recite the surah while he was on the mimbar. Qaf wal Qur'an al Majid bal ajibu an ja'ahum mundhirun minhum fa qala al kafirun hadha shay'un ajib. That the surah, when it began, it reminded them and discussed what was taking place around them, after swearing by the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that they are amazed that a warner should come to them from themselves. And so the kafirun, they say, this is shay'un ajeeb. And then Allah Azza wa Jal discusses of the affair of the ma'ad, again, of the return of al-qiyamah, and of the fact that they rejected, يعني that إذا متنا وكنا ترابا, when we die, will we and we become dust. And they يعني rejected that that could occur, that they could be resurrected. And referred to it as رجعٌ بعيد, that that is a return that is بعيد. يعني we don't believe that that can occur. And so again we have the revelation of that which reminded them of that which was present around them, but Allah Azza wa Jal informing them of the fact that this is what they will believe, and this is what the disbelievers before and of the past that they used to believe. And so the Messenger of Allah and the believers throughout this period, they were constantly reminded, ikhwan, of that which the previous believers went through, and so it gave them solace and it made them firm upon the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. Similarly, from the surah, ikhwan, that were revealed in and during this period, we have the revelation of Surah Zumar. During or within Surah Zumar, we have the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. Indeed, the surah, it reminds and it discusses a number of affairs, ikhwan, but from those affairs, the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, indeed you will die and they will die. Indeed you will die and they will die. ثُمَّ إِنَّكُمْ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّ رَبِّكُمْ تَخْتَصِمُونَ. And then on the day of judgment, you will تختصمون. Yani before your Lord, yani the affair, your affairs will be debated or discussed before your Lord. So concerning that, Abdullah Afwan Zubair ibn Awam, he said, لما نزلت هذه السورة على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنك ميت وإنهم ميتون ثم إنكم يوم القيامة عند ربكم تختصمون. قال الزبير, أي رسول الله, أن يكرر علينا ما كان بيننا في الدنيا مع خواص الذنوب. قال نعم, ليكررن عليكم حتى يؤدى إلى كل ذي حق حقا. He said that when this surah was revealed, indeed you shall die and they shall die, and then you on the day of judgment with your Lord تختصمون, يعني you will debate with your Lord Zubair. He said, O Messenger of Allah, will the khawas ad-dunub, those specific sins, yani those sins that were done in private and no one knows of them, will they be repeated to us and reiterated to us on the day of judgment? He mentioned, that is the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, Na'am, indeed they shall be reiterated so that every possessor of a right should take his right. And so Zubair radiallahu anhu, he said, Wallahi, inna al-amra la-shadeed. He said, by Allah, indeed, then the affair will be difficult. And so we have then, and the hadith was established and collected by Imam Ahmad, Imam al-Tirmidhi, and declared Hassan by Sheikh Nasir. And so we have then, from the revelation of these verses, the revelation of these surah, that which shaped, ikhwan, the iman of the believers, and that which caused them to understand and approach the deen from its correct bab, and that is that they had the aqeedah established in their hearts first and foremost. Similarly, we have the likes of the revelation, ayyuhal ikhwah, of Surah Al-An'am. Surah Al-An'am was from the surah that were likewise revealed in Mecca. Surah Al-An'am was likewise revealed in Mecca. And Surah Al-An'am, there is some discussion concerning whether or not it is Makki or Madani, but what is concerning it is that it is Makki. But prior to Surah Al-An'am, there is a narration related to Surah Zumar that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, He mentioned concerning the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبَهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. That is, has it not time? Has not the time come for the believers, or for those who believe, for their hearts to be filled with fear through the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that which was revealed from the haqq, and that which was revealed from the truth. ولا يكون كالذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبل فطال عليهم الأمد فقست قلوبهم. Those who Allah Azza wa Jalla, he mentions that they do not become like those who were given the book before or in the past, and a long period passed over them. فقست قلوبهم, and their hearts became hard, and many of them were فاسقون. Ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه, he said, ما كان بين إسلامنا وبين أن آتبنا الله بهذه الآية ألم يأن للذين آمنوا أن تخشع قلوبهم لذكر الله إلا أربع سنين. عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه, as occurs in hadith صحيح مسلم and the Sunan of Imam al-Nasa'i, he mentioned that indeed there was not between our embracing Islam and the revelation of this verse except 4 years. In fact, he mentioned there was not between our embracing Islam and Allah disciplining us with this verse, because he mentioned مَا كَانَ بَيْنَ إِسْلَامِنَا وَبَيْنَ أَنْ عَاتَبَنَا اللَّهِ. There was not between our Islam and between the time that Allah disciplined us and reprimanded us with this verse except 4 years. And so Allah Azza wa Jal revealed that upon them, even though ikhwan, they were without doubt in terms of that which we study from the seerah, and that which we see and that which we come across from the riwayat and the narration, they were firm upon we hear and we obey and following the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, firm upon iman. Yet Allah Azza wa Jal revealed that surah and established the fact that the ayat, ikhwan, fear should be instilled in the hearts of those who hear those verses. From the surah that were revealed, as we mentioned then, was the revelation of Surah Al-An'am. Surah Al-An'am was revealed, as occurs in a narration in the Mu'jam Al-Saghir of Imam Al-Tabarani, that it was revealed, نزلت سورة الأنعام بمكة جملة واحدة. That he meant that we have the narration, يعني the authentic narration, as we mentioned, as occurs in the Mu'jam Al-Saghir of Al-Imam Al-Tabarani, who mentioned, you know, upon the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas, and likewise Ibn Asakir, and likewise in Akhbar Al-Asbahan, that the revelation of Surah Al-An'am was in Mecca, and it was revealed all at once. And the whole surah was revealed all at once. Concerning the surah, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, لما نزلت هذه السورة, or it was said, لما نزلت هذه السورة, سبح رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم قال, لقد شيع هذه السورة من الملائكة ما سد الأفق. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, as a cousin of authentic hadith in the Mustadrak of Imam Hakim, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said that when this surah was revealed, or the companion who narrated from the Messenger, he said that when the surah was revealed, the Prophet ﷺ سبح الله, and he said Subhanallah, and then he said that indeed this surah, it came down with malaika, or it was escorted by malaika, by angels that filled the horizon. And when Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the surah, number one, it came down all at once, and number two, it came down with malaika that filled the ufuk, filled the horizon, and as far as the eye could see. And again, ikhwan, we have within the surah verses that establish the fact that the surah was filled with yani ayat of establishing the usul. Surah Al-An'am. Naam. And from the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal within the surah, قُلْ أَيُّ شَيْءٍ أَكْبَرُ شَهَادَةً قُلِ اللَّهِ. And that ayah was revealed concerning an instance the statement say, which thing is greatest in witness? Say Allah. Number one, it was and it is in it an evidence of the permissibility of referring to Allah as Shay. Allah mentions, قُلْ أَيُّ شَيْءٍ أَكْبَرُ الشَّهَادَةِ. Which thing, yani what is greatest in testimony? Say Allah. But concerning the affair, there is an authentic narration that the Prophet ﷺ was approached by a number of individuals from among the mushrikeen. قَدْ جَاءَهُ نَحَامُ ibn Zaid wa Qurdum ibn Ka'ab wa Bahri ibn Umayr faqalu ya Muhammad ma ta'lam ma'a Allah ilahan ghayra. That the three of them, they approached the Messenger and said, oh Muhammad, you don't know any God besides Allah?
La ilaha illallah.
You don't know any God besides Allah? And so the Prophet ﷺ, he responded by saying, La ilaha illallah. Bidhalika bu'ithd. Wa ila dhalika ad'u. He said, La ilaha illallah. I was sent with that. Yani with La ilaha illallah. And to that I call. I was sent with that. And to that I call. There is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Azza wa Jal. And so Allah Azza wa Jal, فأنذر الله فيهم وفي قولهم قل أي شيء أكبر شهادة قل الله شهيد بيني وبينكم وأوحي إلي هذا القرآن لأنذركم به ومن بلغ أئنكم لتشهدون أن مع الله آلهة أخرى قل لا أشهد قل إنما هو إله واحد وإنني بريء مما تشركون الذين آتيناهم الكتاب يعرفونه كما يعرفون أبناءهم وإن الذين خسروا أنفسهم فهم لا يؤمنون. Allah Azza wa Jal revealed, after saying, say, which thing is greatest in Shahada? Then say, Allah, He is the witness between us and between you. وَأُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. And this Quran was revealed to me, لِأُنذِرَكُمْ بِهِ وَمَنْ بَلَى. That I may warn you with it and those who it reaches. أَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَشْهَدُونَ أَنَّ مَعَ اللَّهِ آلِهَةً أُخْرَى. Do you bear witness or do you testify that there is a God besides Allah? قُلْ لَا أَشْهَدْ. Say to them, I do not testify. I do not testify. إِنَّمَا هِيَ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ. هُوَ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ. Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, say indeed it is one God. There is only one God. يعني one deity. And that Allah Azza wa Jal, of course, refers to himself. Na'am. And he mentions, وَإِنَّنِي بَرِيءٌ مِمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ. And I am free of that which you draw as a partner besides Allah Azza wa Jal. And then Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentions, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. Those who we have given the book, they know him as they know their own sons. الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Those who have lust as it relates to them, their own selves, and so they do not believe. And so that was revealed in relation to those three who approached the Messenger ﷺ, saying, Ya Muhammad, you don't know any God besides Allah, bless Allah. Bas. Similarly, ikhwan, in the surah, we have the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَهُمْ يَنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ وَيَنْأَوْنَ عَنْهُ. وَهُمْ يَنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ وَيَنْأَوْنَ عَنْهُ. Allah mentions that they, يعني هُمْ يَنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ, and they prevent people from him. وَيَنْأَوْنَ عَنْهُ, while they themselves refrain from him. They prevent people from him, while they themselves prevent people from him. And in regards to the ayah, نَزَلَ قَوْلُهُ قوله عز وجل وهم ينهون عنه وينأون عن في أبي طالب كان ينهى المشركون أن يؤذوا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ويتباعد عما جاء به. That it was revealed concerning Abu Talib, his uncle, For indeed, Abu Talib used to prevent the mushrikun from harming the Messenger of Allah, but he himself didn't believe in him or didn't follow him, though he believed that that which he was sent with was the haqq, as occurs in some lines of poetry attributed to Abu Talib. وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ خَيْرُ أَدْيَانٍ بَرِيَةِ دِينَ لَوْلَا الْمَلَامَةُ أَوْ حَذَارُ مُسَبَّتٍ لَوَجَدْتَنِي سَمْحًا بِذَاكَ مُبِينًا. That indeed I know that the deen of Muhammad is the best deen for mankind. And if it were, not for the fact that I would be cursed or that I would be dispraised, then you would find me manifesting that publicly. And so he knew that it was the truth, but Allah Azza wa Jal revealed concerning him, وَهُمْ يَنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ وَيَنْأَوْنَ عَنْهُ. They prevent them from him, yani he prevented the mushrikun from harming him, while they themselves refrain from him. And they themselves don't follow him. Similarly, from the ayat and from the verses that were revealed in the surah, the likes of the statements of Allah Azza wa Jal, قَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ لَيَحْزُنُكَ الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يُكَذِّبُونَكَ وَلَكِنَّ الظَّالِمُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ يَجْحَدُونَ. Statements of Allah Azza wa Jal, that indeed, verily we know that it يَحْزُنُكَ الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ, that it harms, that it causes grief to you, the words that they say, the things that they say. And in those statements that they make, we know that it causes you grief. وَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يُكَذِّبُونَكَ, but indeed they do not deny and belie you. But the ظَالِمُونَ وَلَكِنَّ الظَّالِمُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ يَجْحَدُونَ, but it is the ayat of Allah that they reject. That verse was revealed concerning Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl كان قد قال للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قد نعلم يا محمد إنك تصل الرحم وتصدق الحديث ولا نكذبك ولكن نكذب الذي جئت به. He said that indeed, ya Muhammad, we know that you tie the bonds of kinship and that you're truthful in speech, and we don't deny you and we don't reject you, but it is what you have brought that we reject. We don't reject you, and we know that you've been truthful, we know that you're upright and what have you, but it is the statements that you make, it is this speech, and in the Quran, it is that we reject. And thus Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed concerning them, or concerning him, قَدْ نَعْلَمُ إِنَّهُ لَيَحْزُنُكَ الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يُكَذِّبُونَكَ وَلَكِنَّ الظَّالِمُونَ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ يَجْحَدُونَ. From that, the verses that were revealed or that were present within Surah Al-An'am, and we mentioned one or two narrations, Ikhwan, before we round up. From those verses, we have the likes of the statements of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا مِمَّا لَمْ يَذْكُرُ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَيُوحُونَ إِلَىٰ أَوْلِيَائِهِمْ لِيُجَادِلُوكُمْ وَإِنْ أَطَعْتُمُوهُمْ إِنَّهُمْ أَوْ إِنَّكُمْ لَمُشْرِكُونَ. Statements of Allah Azza wa Jal, and do not eat from that which the name of Allah has not been recited over. For indeed the shaytan, he reveals and he inspires his awliya to argue with you. And if you taste it or if you eat from it, then indeed, innakum la mushrikun. Indeed, you will be mushrikun. Concerning that, a verse yani in Surah An'am, it was revealed, كان المشركون قد قالوا للمسلمين ما قتل ربكم لا تأكلون وتحرمون وما قتلتم وذبحتم أنتم تأكلون. They came with one of their arguments was that which your Lord kills, you don't eat and you deem it haram, but that which you kill with your own hands is halal and you eat. Yani again, in an attempt to cause shak and doubt. Yani because the animal that dies, either from falling off a cliff or dies a natural, normal death, without being slaughtered, is haram. The mayit. And so they would study the verses that were revealed and seek to find some opening to cause shak and doubt. Similar, ikhwan, to many of the kuffar in our time and many of the people of bid'ah and balala, attempting to find doubt, ikhwan and shak, and to attempt to make the believers and their belief appear to be foolish. Something that is of old, an affair that is just based on some silly superstition. And it's some foolishness that simple-minded, unintelligent individuals follow. And so here we have similar examples. Oh, so what your Lord kills, you don't eat. It's haram. But that which you kill is haram. Huh? So the one who hears that, it may possibly cause some doubt. Allah, if Allah kills it, we can't eat it. But if we kill it, it's alright. So Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed, لا تأكلوا مما لم يذكر اسم الله عليه. And so here we have the affair of the tasmiyah, the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jalla upon it. And that which falls up from a cliff, who recited the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla upon it? And so Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed, ولا تأكلوا مما لم يذكر اسم الله عليه. وإن الشياطين ليوحون إلى أوليائهم ليجادلوكم وإن أطعتموهم إنكم لمشركون. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions that indeed do not eat from that which the name of Allah has not been recited over. And indeed the shayateen, they approach or they come to you in order to argue with you. But if you eat it, then indeed you are mushrikun. Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim, ikhwan, mentions a beautiful fa'ida in Ahkam Ahl al-Zimma, when discussing the affair of the meat of the people of the book, and that is that he mentions that Allah Azza wa Jal, from the sir, or the reason Allah allowed and permitted the meat of the people of the book over and above the meat of the mushrikun, since the meat of the mushrik is haram, mutlaqan. The meat of the mushrik is haram. The Prophet allowed, though, in that which was revealed from the Quran, he was permitted to eat the meat of the people of the book. Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim, he mentioned, as-sirru fi dhalik, that the secret behind that, or the wisdom behind that, is that Allah Azza wa Jal has made halal for us, from their meat, that which Allah Azza wa Jal made halal for them. That which was halal for them, in their book, similarly, Allah Azza wa Jal made it halal for us. And on that basis, he goes on to argue that never did Allah Azza wa Jal permit any individual to eat meat that was slaughtered in the name of other than Allah Azza wa Jal. And he mentions some of the verses, like the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالدَّمُ وَلَحْمَ الْخِنْزِيرُ وَمَا أُحِلَّ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ بِهِ. That Allah Azza wa Jal, in the verse he mentioned, haram upon you is al-mayta, dead meat. Al-mayta, wa-dam, blood. Wa-lahm al-khinzir, and pork. Wa-ma uhilla li-ghayri Allahi bi. And that which was slaughtered for other than the name of Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions the last of them, that which was slaughtered for other than the name of Allah. Ibn al-Qayyim mentions that this affair is similar to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, when Allah mentioned, come and I will tell you what Allah Azza wa Jal has made haram upon you. What's the ayah? إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّي أَفْوَانَ إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّي الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ وَالْإِثْمَ وَالْبَغْيَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَأَنْ تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ تُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, indeed Allah has made haram upon you al-ithma, sin, wal-baghi, transgression. إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّي الْفَوَاحِشَ أَفْوَانَ lewdness, al-fawahish, ma zahara minha wa ma batan, what is apparent from it and what is hidden, wal-ithma wal-baghya bighayri al-haq, sin and transgression without right, wa an tushriku billahi ma lam tunazzil bihi sultana, and that you make shirk with Allah Azza wa Jal with that which you have no authority, wa an taqulu ala Allahi ma la ta'lamun, and that you say about Allah that which you do not know. He mentions, just as in this verse Allah Azza wa Jal started with the lightest affair and ended with the heaviest, the worst affair. the most severe. إنما حرم ربي الفواحش. Allah makes haram فواحش, lewdness. ما ظهر منها وما بطن. والإثم and sin. والبغي بغير الحق and يعني tyranny without right. وأن تشركوا بالله ما لم تنزل به سلطانا. And that you make shirk with Allah with that which there is no authority, and that you say about Allah that which you do not know. And he mentions that the worst of them is speaking about Allah with that which one does not know, because it is the cause of everything else. It is the cause and has led to, it is speaking about Allah without knowledge that led to the shirk that Allah Azza wa Jalla has prohibited. And claiming that others besides Allah may be worshipped, and that there isn't a problem with that, and that is not considered from the dhunub and from the sins that Allah Azza wa Jalla abhors. And so similarly in that verse, Allah started with the lightest and ended with the worst. And as it relates to the affair of food, Allah starts with the lightest and ends with the most severe. As Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةَ وَالْدَّمَ وَلَحْمَ الْخِنْزِيرِ. Haram upon you is dead meat, yani the dead animal, الْمَيْتَةُ وَالْدَّمَ and blood, ولحم الخنزير and pork, وما أحل لغير الله به. Or as it says in another ayah, وما أحل به لغير الله. And the worst of them, that which has been slaughtered for other than Allah Azza wa Jal. And so the affair then is one that from the earliest time, the slaughtering in other than the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, يعني is from the affairs that Allah has dispraised in this verse and prohibited and warned against. Of course, we know there's a difference of opinion among Ahl al-Ilm concerning the meat of the people of the book and the affair of the Basmala. يعني from the positions is that the Basmala is a condition, is a shart, and is a condition for eating their meat that they slaughter in the name of Allah Azza wa Jal and not in the name of anything other or besides Allah. And from Ahlul Ilm are also hold that even if they slaughter in other than the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, then it is permissible to eat that. But of course, ikhwan, these verses give strength to the position that the basmala is a condition. And we mentioned the last then of the statements for this session, and that is the narration concerning Abu Sufyan. That Abu Sufyan, concerning the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, Ya ayyuha an-nas ittaqu rabbakum wakhshaw yawman la yujzi walidun an waladihi wala mawludun huwa jazun an walidihi shay'a. The statement of Allah, O mankind, fear your Lord and fear the day that no son will avail or no father will avail his son, neither any child will he avail his parent in any way, to the end of the verse. Abu Sufyan in Jahiliyyah, قد مضى إلى اليمن, that he traveled to Yemen, بعدما علم خبر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كما سبق, that just after he had learned of and was acquainted with the affair of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And so he came to an individual and he took up or spent time and took up residence while he was in Yemen with Umayyah ibn Abi Salt. When he returned, or after he returned from Yemen, he took up residence in Ta'if with Umayyah ibn Abi Salt. And so he said, Ya Aba Uthman, قد كان من أمر الرجل ما قد بلغك وسمعته. He said, indeed, there has occurred from the affair of this man that which has reached you and that which you've heard of. فقال قد كان لعمري. He said, and so I said, by my life, أين أنت منه يا أبا عثمان. He said, where are you in relation to him, يا أبا عثمان? What do you think of him, يا أبا عثمان? And naturally, he was one who he respected. And so he responded by saying, since the region of Ta'if was populated by Banu Thaqif, he responded by saying, Wallahi ma kuntu li'u'min bi rasulin min ghayri thaqifin abada. He said, by Allah, I'm not going to believe. I personally wouldn't believe in any messenger that's not from Thaqif. Not from my tribe, I'm going to believe in him. And so Abu Sufyan, he said, فَأَقْبَلَتْ أَوْ فَأَقْبَلْتُ إِلَى مَكَّةِ وَاللَّهِ مَا أَنَا بِبَعِيدٍ حَتَّى جِئْتُ مَكَّةِ فَوَجَدْتُ أَصْحَابَهُ يَضْرِبُونَ وَيُعَقِّرُونَ. He said that when I left him, I approached Mecca, and I said, or as I approached Mecca, I found that he was being beaten, yani Prophet ﷺ, he was being beaten and injured. And so Abu Sufyan, so he said, Abu Sufyan, he said, فَجَعَلْتُ أَقُولُ فَأَيْنَ جُنْدُهُ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. So I started to say, where is his army from among the angels? Where is his army from among the angels? And so they entered my heart, that which entered others, yani other individuals. And the narration was collected by Imam Tabarani in Mu'jam al-Kabir. And so we see then that the atmosphere in Mecca at that time, Ikhwan, was one that revolved around, number one, the affair, or the new affair as far as they were concerned, of the da'wah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the da'wah had now been spread for a year, yani, or a little over a year. And so the da'wah was now becoming widespread. It was becoming problematic. Individuals are entering into his religion and they're struggling to reject it, and they're struggling to find fault in it. The meanwhile, Allah Azza wa Jal continually reveals verses and surah that, of course, in terms of the language of those verses are beautiful, and in terms of that which they possess from meaning was strong and potent and difficult for them to reject. The believers were being strengthened and fortified with those verses, and the disbelievers were being bewildered and frustrated by that which they were kept coming across from the verses of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And that frustration increased when they saw particular individuals entering into Islam. When they saw individuals entering, it caused them frustration, particularly when certain individuals entered. And we'll look at the characters that enter, and similarly we'll discuss, Ikhwan, the arguments of the Kuffar of Quraysh, the continual arguments of the Kuffar of Quraysh against the da'wah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that which is to come bi'idhnillah. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.